Hello and welcome everybody again to my Tuesday conference call. Again, this is a call I do every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a call where I show you, I explain to you how to move more freight, move it more efficiently, productively, and effectively so you make more money financially. Today I've got a very special guest on the line here. My guest is Bryce Lukasko. Bryce, you reign from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Is that correct?
Yes.
Bryce, how old are you?
23.
Bryce, how long have you been a freight sales agent?
I signed on with LDI on Labor Day of 2014, I believe it was. So little over a year.
Labor Day 2014. Did you have any experience before you signed on with LDI?
Yes, I did. I have some family members involved in both the asset side and brokerage that I grew up doing some just general office work for, and then eventually I got a job with CRST. They're a large trucking company based in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I was in their brokerage division for a little over a year.
I got it. So Bryce, you have some experience growing up in the industry.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Tell us, you have some experience growing up in the industry with your family members. You say you were an agent with CRST. Now, CRST is, a large company out of Iowa. How long were you with CRST again?
I was there a little over a year, and I wasn't a freight agent there. I was actually just in their in-house brokerage, and I worked there for probably in their Cedar Rapids office for 4 to 5 months, and then they moved me down to Dallas, Texas, where I worked there for another 6-7 months or so.
Okay, all right. What was the lure to LDI? Why did you choose LDI first of all?
Well, Tim Nowicki, he's no longer with LDI.
Okay.
Some of you might know him, depending on how long you've been here. But he had, as soon as I created my LinkedIn account, he had been, sending me messages. And that's when I was, first starting out and really didn't know much at all. And just kind of told him, hey, I really don't know a whole lot about this business. I would definitely love to be an agent someday. But, now's not the right time. He followed me for about 2 years, and then eventually I just, took that risk and just said, yeah, let's put it into action, and that was it.
You obviously gained a lot of experience with CRST, correct?
Yeah.
All right. And you've been with LDI now for over a year, Bryce. You're a very young man. It's very good that young men like you come in and are successful right away, although you did explain that you had some experience growing up in the industry. Bryce, what do you attain your success to at this point? Has it all come easily to you? I mean, are you just a lucky guy where you're attaining the success that you're getting? Did I hear yes?
No, I mean, I just, honestly, a lot of it was just using resources around me. I have, people that are experienced, and I'm not talking about my family members, but other successful agents that I just, would always just bombard with questioning. Actually, when I was at CRST, I was a sales rep, but they never really taught us how to do sales. They just said, call these people, and I just, really wanted somebody to kind of take me under their wing and show me how they got to where they were, and it's just that never happened. So I just actually, the experience I have is more on the operation side, as far as we have sales reps at CRST that would get freight from their customers, and it's my job to cover it. So when I came over to LDI, I absolutely had no sales experience at all.
Well, so when you were with CRST, they didn't have conference calls for you to jump on like this one you're on today?
No, they didn't.
Okay. All right. So you've been with LDI now for a little over a year, Bryce.
Yep.
What do you attain the success that you're having with LDI so far? again, I asked you earlier, are you just a lucky guy? Are you one of those guys where you didn't have to work very hard? I mean,
no,
let's face
I,
it,
I
last month you were on the LDI leaderboard. You were in the top 10. Did that all just come easily and naturally?
Absolutely not. And like I said, I started with LDI with really no customers, just one or two very small customers that, I mean, if I didn't find any others, you know, in a short amount of time, I probably would have been starving. So I pretty much used the small customers that I had and, you know, serviced them really well and asked them for advice and if they had any connections in the industry, because with such a, you know, saturated industry, you could say with brokers, you know, it's they know where to find brokers if they want to. So it comes down to finding, if you have a referral, if your customer says, yes, I know this guy and I'll put in a good word for you, et cetera, and you slowly expand your customer base that way. Other than
that,
it was...
Did you get any referrals, Bryce?
Oh, absolutely. That's how I started out with, you know, my next batch of customers, I guess.
So did they just offer up referrals, or did you have to actually ask for them?
I actually had to ask for them. Sometimes I was a little pushy, but again, I had to make some money, so I might have been a little pushy. But the customers I have are it's kind of a different industry, and they were actually the same bill to, but they were every location handled their freight independently, and I would make sales calls to those locations and say, you know, I'm set up with you guys and, you know, I'd like to work with your location. They still did not even give me a chance. So the locations that I was tied in, you know, pretty deep with, sent them an email and copied me in, said, you know, this guy does a great job. He can be reached anytime. And, you know, eventually they started shooting a couple of things my way, and I made sure, you know, to do a great job.
And again, Bryce, did that happen right away?
No. I mean, those short couple, maybe within a few months, but no.
What specific industry do you service, Bryce?
We service time-critical LTL shipments, you could say, or hot shots, or, I mean, there's various terms for it, but it's, a lot of the stuff we do is for people like GE, and I'm not working directly with GE, but, you know, third parties would handle GE's stuff, and it might be stuff that's coming, auto parts that's coming over from Mexico, and it's only a 60-pound box of gaskets, and they could, you know, put it on FedEx for, you know, a couple hundred bucks and get it there in a few days or weeks or whatever, but... people like GE that have assembly lines and manufacturing facilities that are going to shut down if they don't have these specific equipment or whatever, they pay good money just to get it there as soon as possible. And that's those are transported with cargo vans, spur vans, and straight trucks.
I would see that something like that would go on a hot shot, Bryce. More on a hot shot than it would a regular drive-in flatbed, something along those lines. Absolutely, and that's what hot shots typically do. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? So basically, you said time critical LTL shipments.
Yep.
Is this all for the same customer? And is it
we
all
drive-in? We actually have.
I'm assuming it's all dry vans, right, Bryce?
Yeah, we have two. Not dry vans. It's the cargo vans and square vans. I'd say probably 85% of our business is transported on a cargo van, square van, or a straight truck, from a 12-foot box truck to a 26-foot large straight truck that
gotcha.
Can pack at like 10,000 pounds or so. And I'd say probably 5% of that is dry van.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically your specialty then, what you ship, I mean, this is a different type of equipment that I haven't had on as a guest before. So as you were saying, Bryce, a lot of the equipment that hauls your freight are straight trucks, right?
Yep.
Hot shots, and hot shots can come in any size, right? But they're typically
hot shot could be
hot shots are typically with a pickup truck.
Yeah, everybody in this industry has different names for everything. I mean, I used to think a hot shot was a pickup, because we do that too—a pickup truck pulling a small 20-foot gooseneck trailer.
Right.
And then all my other customers started calling everything a hot shot, so I just kind of caught on, and now I call everything a hot shot.
Right. I've in the last week I've done two loads, and they were with considered a hot shot, and both loads were done with a pickup truck, but. Again, I have not had a guest on before that did that type of freight. But anyway, your main the main freight that you transport, as you said earlier, is time critical LTL, and is this all for the same company?
Predominantly? Yes, we have two customers that we work with only, and under those we have one that's extremely large and another one that probably does. I'd say 15% to 20% as much business as they do.
Okay.
And we work with, like I said, several locations under that same customer, but each location that we are working with, we've had to make, go through the whole prospecting, system that you would if it, was a different customer.
Right.
Just the same idea.
Right. So let me draw a scenario for your future business that you plan on bringing in, Bryce. And shall I assume that you plan on bringing in more business?
Yep.
Is this a niche that you plan on pursuing?
Absolutely.
Or do you think you'd like to get into some cheap lumber loads? Cheap produce loads?
Lumber and produce is not for me.
No?
Especially LTL produce.
No? Why do you say that?
It's just I've found that lumber customers, for example, are, if you want to set up, if you want to get on the leaderboard for setting up the most customers in a month, I'd say call lumber customers, because you'll call them and say, can we work with you? And they'll say yes, because they just care about cheap, cheap, cheap. And they'll take anybody that calls them. That's my opinion of it. But they're good to have, especially when you're starting out, because it familiarizes you with obtaining a customer and going through the quoting process and building a relationship. So they're good to have. And, you might win a load every now and then, but that would not be my main focus of an industry.
Can you survive servicing lumber customers?
If you got a whole lot of them,
will you gain weight by servicing lumber customers, or are you more prone to lose weight servicing lumber customers, Bryce?
Do you mean physically, or
yes? Are you gonna be eating well?
Oh
by,
no,
by
yeah,
servicing
you're probably
lumber,
servicing
produce, commodities along those lines.
A good couple of weeks of lumber customers, you'll have a beach body in no time, I'd say.
Okay. All right. My main point is you've hit on something good, Bryce. You've hit on an industry, and again, we'll call it time-critical LTL, where you've hit on an industry that, I mean, let's face it, you didn't just get in there, Bryce. From when you started to where you are now, with these customers that you have in this industry, I mean, how long has it taken you to get to this point from the time you started? Did you service these when you were with CRST?
No. Well, I did for one or two of them, but again, they were very small customers, and I mean, they weren't even big enough, have enough business for CRST to have a non-compete against them, I guess. So they're
okay.
Pretty much, you know, nobodies. But,
right.
So you're asking how long it's taken me to develop my business up to where it's at or to find my certain niche?
All of the above, Bryce.
Well, I'd say, especially when you're first starting out, like all you need to get customers, and you can't turn away anybody because that's potential business, and you really, you can't be choosy. And I never walked into this industry knowing what, you know, I thought everything was transported on a 53-foot dry van. And how you find your niche is just by pounding out the phone, getting as much customers as you can, and figuring out what works for you and also what interests you, and also whatever, you know, is bringing you money, obviously. And then you get good at that, and then I just make my future sales prospects, I target that specific industry because I've sort of mastered it, you could say, and I know how to get around every objection and I have a lot more confidence in my sales calls. So,
in order to do that, Bryce, you have to be on the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're just posting loads all day, you know, attempting to cover them that are on a freight list, are you going to get much experience in prospecting?
No.
If you are at it for a while, and let's say you've built up 10 customers and you decide to coast, is that a good decision?
No, it's not. And
why
actually,
not? Why not, Bryce?
Well, because, and actually, this is from, I don't read your articles on LinkedIn as much as I watch the YouTube videos. I'm more of a watcher and listener, I guess, and that's one of the things that you touch base on. I know that, you know, the customers come and go, and you can't get comfortable because, you know, the next day they might not be there, and then, you know, that day that you wake up and your biggest customer is no longer working with you for whatever reason, now you got to restart the whole prospecting process when you could have been doing that all along, and then, you know, have a familiar batch of customers in your back pocket that you have a better chance of getting freight from than, you know, starting from scratch.
So you would agree, Bryce, that prospecting is a never-ending process if you're going to be successful in this profession?
Absolutely.
So you would agree or disagree with that?
I agree. You always need to be prospecting.
How do you continue to prospect with time-critical LTL?
I guess I'm trying to lay down my I have a system in place, and I actually learned it from one of your YouTube videos, and pretty much my goal is to have a list of five solid prospects. What I mean by five solid prospects is, you know, not just, you know, companies that you know you could call, but companies that you have called, you've made a relationship with, you're not getting their quotes yet, or maybe you've only got one or two and you haven't won it, but you know that these are customers that once you do get in with them, then they will increase your business and be a good long-term customer. And how I narrow down that list of five solid prospects is similar to what you mentioned, I believe, in one of your videos. First of all, you want a prospecting management tool. If you don't know, LDI has one under the management thing. I think you go into prospects and you can enter all your prospects and, you know, create statuses and enter notes and all that stuff. But you want to first start out by creating a large list of customers, whether you know of the customer or, you know, you just pulled them up on Google this morning. And, you know, I'd say at least have 15 to 20 of them. And you could get through this list in, you know, 1 to 2 hours, no problem. You want to call everybody on that list, and the most important thing is to retain as much detailed information as possible per call and make sure you're writing all that down. And then once you do that for your whole list, you want to narrow your list down to, you know, the next level of people that said they do have freight, and you know you can possibly get in with them in the future and remove those from your list that, you know, you just don't think were worth your time or there's no opportunity there. You want to, it's very important once you do get somebody to open up with you and give you a lay down of their business, their operations, et cetera, you need to maintain consistent contact with them. And it's very important to do that. It doesn't hurt to say, what I say a lot is, okay, well, I will, you know, shoot you, you know, 3 emails a week, and you better make sure that you send, you know, 3 emails a week, because that shows them consistency and that you are a man to your word. And I actually call them on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and then on Tuesdays and Thursdays I'll shoot them emails.
That is constantly in contact with them, Bryce. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you, when you call them, do you just try to be their friend, or do you sell more of your experience as a freight agent?
I kind of do an in-between. I wouldn't call myself a good salesman when you're down to the book, off soliciting your services and that sort of thing. And I'm also, you know, I try to work on it every day as far as, you know, building that relationship and being their friend, because that's ultimately the most important thing. But I'll try to say something or leave them with a mark on the phone that they will remember, and they'll remember me every time I call. And a good example is this customer I'm trying to get in with in Chicago. And the lady flat out told me, I have 3 brokers that I work with, and I have no intentions of looking elsewhere. Which, if you ever hear somebody say that, then they're a golden customer, and you want to contact them every day, because eventually you will be one of those 3 brokers. But anyway, what
hey,
I said
Bryce,
to her was...
Bryce.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that, although I did hear it, but repeat what you just said. When you hear something like that from a prospect, hey, look, buddy, I've already got enough people on my list. I have no intention of giving you any business. How do you respond to that again?
I get so very happy because
Offended? Do you run in the corner and cry?
No, I get so excited.
Do you say to yourself,
to
I'm never calling them again?
No, absolutely not. I mean, like I said, I get extremely excited when people say that. And, I mean, it seems kind of weird because they just told you that they're happy with who they use. And I had always thought that, you know, when I was doing sales calls at CRST, you know, that, oh, these guys don't want to work with us. They got people. And then I'd give up and never call them again because they had people. And there was this one outside sales rep that did give me good advice. He said, you know what, those are the best customers, because those are the loyal customers, those are the customers that are going to pay good rates, and they're more service-driven than cheap-driven, and it kind of changed my whole mindset, so now I love when people say that. And again, the example I have is I talked to this lady in Chicago, and she said, I have 3 brokers I'm working with, and unless they completely screw up and we kick them out the door, we have no intentions moving forward. I said, okay, great. I'm, you know, glad to know there are still loyal customers out there like yourself. I'm sure if your brokers listen to you say this to me right now, they'd be extremely excited. Eventually, you know, I would like to, and I respect where you stand, and eventually I would like to become one of those 3 brokers. And I said, for now, I will send you an email every week and pray every night that every one of your shipments goes completely wrong and I get that opportunity. And
so you actually, Bryce, you actually tell them, hey, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Now, what if they don't give you their email address?
A lot of times
then?
They will, because if you ask somebody for their email, I mean, I'd say 90% of the time at least they would give it to you, because if you say, well, could I have your email address, then they will they see that as a point to get you off the phone and give you like a little bone so you don't bother them. So they'll happily give you their email address, or you could ask them to send some information.
Yeah, I mean that makes perfect sense, Bryce. Yeah, okay, here you go. In their mind, they're giving it to you because they're running you off the phone. However, they don't know who they're dealing with or they're going to be dealing with, do they, in this young 23-year-old?
Not yet.
Right. Correct. So thanks for sharing that. But go ahead, Bryce. Go ahead.
Well, to complete my story, the lady, I did say that, and she kind of got, I mean, she verbally laughed when I said that I hope I'll pray that every one of your shipments goes bad going forward. And, of course, I said it, kind of jokingly, but then I also told her that I will send her an email once a week, and she was completely okay with that because she knows I'm not going to be blowing up her phone every day. And so I do still, I think I talked to her probably back in June, and I've sent her an email once per week since then. And she actually had sent me two quotes because on my emails I'd say, hey, Linda, sending you my weekly email to remind you that every shipment you don't move with me is a missed opportunity. And again, I hope your next shipment goes bad. And she fired back a quote and said, Bryce, I'm literally sending you this quote because you made me LOL. And, you know.
So humor has its value, Bryce. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
there is
value in
humor.
They get a million calls a day.
Because that is humorous. I am praying every night that some of your shipments go bad. I mean, at least you're showing them that you're persistent. Now, but let's face it, Bryce, not everyone will accept our humor, will they?
No, but, I mean, you know, you got to test the waters and go with what you're comfortable with. And,
you hit the nail on the head there. You test the waters in order for you to find out if somebody will even accept some humor. You've got to speak to them. Would you agree?
Yeah.
You've got to see where they're coming from. Obviously, this gal that you spoke to in Chicago, you determined from some of the words that you said and how she responded that, hey, I can play with her a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, humor. I mean, these people are at their best, just like everybody else, you know, and they're going to be more accepting of something that kind of makes them laugh or like, you know, that gets them off topic of work all day, rather than the other 10 brokers that called them saying, you know, I'm with AB brokerage.
They're getting the typical sales spiel.
Yep. So. And I've had several customers, not that exact example, but where I've, you know, kind of left an imprint on, you know, my conversation to where that's came back and helped me. And we're actually working with a couple of those folks right now because of that.
Have you moved a load yet for this gal in Chicago?
I actually have not. I've quoted her a couple times, and we've just been just so busy.
You're in process, Bryce. You're in process.
Yeah,
you will eventually move her freight.
Absolutely.
And this all started with her telling you that she is totally satisfied with who she has, her three brokers. She is totally content. But let's face it, you're gonna be moving one of her loads one day. And one day soon.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes. And here's an example of a full success story on using this process. We have another customer that it's the same customer in different location that we've probably spent 3 months trying to get in with them, and they've finally sent us some things. We've been pretty much winning every full truckload. I'm talking 53-foot dry vans, one reefer load with them. And I actually talked to the owner of that company this morning, and because we had a shipment that had a little bit of problems, and I wanted to make sure everything was okay. And then I said, by the way, do you guys do any expedited LTL or hotshot stuff? And he said, what I asked him was, Warren, are we getting your full amount of business right now, or are you sending us just a couple things to test the water? And he said, no, you're probably seeing about 20% of our freight right now, and that's all the truckload freight. I was like, do you move any expedited LTL? And he said, yes, that's a huge part of our business. And I said, well, that's 90% of our business, and that's what, you know, our main focus in this industry is and where we can help you out a lot. And he said, oh, I did not know that. And I will, you know, work on getting you in the process of that stuff. So.
And how did you know that, Bryce? Because you asked. But then again, Bryce, let's face it. You were able to ask because you're pursuing this guy. You're now moving his freight. After moving a few loads, you can ask questions like that. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you asked that question, you know, while you were prospecting him, you think he would have paid you much mind?
No.
Yeah, this guy moves expedited LTL. Yeah, right. Yeah, good luck with that. Of course, that's what somebody could think or somebody could feel, Bryce. But when you actually move freight and start moving freight with a customer, you've turned them into a customer from a prospect, yes, you can ask questions like that. Bryce, I'm delighted to know that, first of all, you've gained some knowledge by my videos that are out there. You're one of many that are taking advantage of that, Bryce. I really appreciate you sharing that with us today. Bryce, are you open to a little Q&A?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know we've got some folks out there that would love to ask you some questions, Bryce. So you're open to that, Bryce?
Yeah.
Awesome. Who's got the first question for Bryce? Who's got the first question for Bryce? Remember, Bryce, he's you're not new. You've been around for a couple years, but you're a young guy, Bryce. You're on your way to tremendous potential and tremendous results. So who's got that first question for Bryce? Hit star 6. Hit star 6 with your first question for Bryce.
Good afternoon, there.
Go ahead, guys. Whoever wants to go first.
Good afternoon. This is Nassim.
Nassim, welcome today.
Bryce, very impressive and...
Could you talk up, Nassim? We can hardly hear you on your cell phone.
Can you hear me now better?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep.
Bryce, my question is with the amounts of each load that the customer pays you.
Can you say that again? I had a little trouble hearing
you. Yeah, you have to talk up, Nassim.
Do you have any limits in respects or amount-wise, dollar-wise? Do you limit yourself with the amount you charge your customer?
Do I limit them? What do you mean?
Do you have a minimum or a minimum amount that lower than that amount you won't touch the load?
For example, in the scheme, if it's paying $100 or $100 to the carrier and he's getting $200, like on the low end.
So you're asking if I have a limit that I'll refuse a load for if it doesn't pay a certain amount.
Yes.
It really depends. I never want to turn away business, even if it's $100 that I'm going to make. Depending on my day, if it's a crazy day, crazy week, I might, you know, say I'm sorry, I'm firm at this rate. But if you're getting new into it, or you do have, you aren't overwhelmed with current shipments, absolutely take anything that, anything that you can have. It's revenue, it's profit, and most importantly, especially if it's a customer that you move a lot of freight for. My thing is, I've taken loads where I've made no money. I'll put $50 on top of it, and I won't get anything because after LDI's accounting. And the reason is because I don't want my customer working with any other broker besides me, and any load that I do not take is an opportunity for another broker to get in with my customer. Now, if they're always being cheap like that, then you have to reevaluate if they're worth your time. But if there are good paying loads that you get with them, absolutely never turn anything down.
Always cover your loads, regardless price. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Nassim, thanks for joining us today.
Sure, thank you. I'm sorry I joined 8 minutes late. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
But
that's okay.
It's a pleasure of mine.
Hey, thanks, Nassim. Who else was ready to ask a question for Bryce?
This is Raven.
Hey, Raven.
Georgia. I have a question. How long did it take you before you decided that, you know, that you pretty much had it in that niche that you were doing?
How much time did you spend in the cheap niche? The starter niche price.
You're asking how long I spent until I found that this was my niche, or?
Like, how long did it take you to pretty much get started with, you know, like, what's the time frame that you felt like you knew that this was something that was going to work for you in that niche?
Did you start out, you know, with the lumber market?
Yeah, I mean, I never moved a lumber load. I never was able to, I could never find a rate that worked to move a lumber load successfully, but I did receive quotes from them. But it, as far as finding your niche is just having a little bit of everything, and then, you know, you see, okay, well, I'm doing lumber shipments, but I just did this reefer shipment that I actually made a little bit of money on. And, you know, and I did a good job doing it. So then, you know, don't turn down that existing lumber stuff. You're making a little bit of money on it. But, you know, maybe find customers that move refrigerated loads and start prospecting that. And, you know, sell yourself as not an agent that moves specialized, LTL, all of the above. Come in with a specific niche and say, hey, this is what we specialize in. I specialize in moving refrigerated shipments, or I specialize in moving, you know, super loads or whatever, and that the customer is going to be more accepting of that than saying I do all of the above, because that's what every brokerage says. So if you say you specifically meet their niche, they will take you on, most likely.
But let's face it, Bryce, you're not going to find your niche unless you keep prospecting. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, you gotta. Have a variation.
You found critical LTL because you called a customer in that industry, and a light went off after you again prospected and finally moved a load. Hey, let me investigate this a little further. I mean, is that how it happened?
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually have an interest in it. It's fun. I love moving these loads because it's fun to me.
You'd be surprised at how many hot shots are out there in straight trucks that are looking at load boards, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's load boards that are specifically, like, I rarely post on DAT 360. There's specific load boards for these.
Gotcha. Hey, Raven?
Yes?
Did Bryce answer your question at all?
You know how he's only been doing it for, like, a little over a year? How long did it, out of that year, when did he find himself saying, you know how you usually ask, you know, how long, you know.
At what point in the process, Bryce, did you feel, hey, I've got this, or I'm getting this?
I would say within a month. Yes. Yeah, within a couple, you know, within a week of actually getting that business, then I'd say,
just
you
overall,
know,
though,
I
Bryce,
mean, you know if
overall.
It works for you.
Overall, Bryce.
Yeah, it took me probably a couple months, you could say, on average.
But you were constantly, you were in constant contact with the marketplace if it took you only a couple months.
Yeah, Bryce. Absolutely. To find my niche, not to grow my book of business, but to find my niche and figure out what I like. But for my business to expand, it probably took me up until a couple months ago, I'd say. So a little, you know, between a year, a little less than a year.
A little less than a year before, hey, I found my niche, and this is what I'm going after. Is that what you're saying?
No, probably a couple months for that. But as far as, you know, expanding and focusing only on that niche and getting good feedback and good numbers from that niche, it probably took me a little less than a year.
Okay. All right.
But it all comes down to how hard you hustle the phones. I mean, and I know Ted talks about that a lot.
Hey, Bryce, say that again. It all comes down to what?
You have to hustle the phones, and I think this is going to be the most helpful information out of anything, is finding a system that you religiously follow. Because if you say, I'm going to, you know, make 10, and I personally experience this, I'm going to, you know, make a couple sales calls today, a couple tomorrow, and then you don't follow up because you got it written on some notebook paper, you know, hidden away, and you're not consistently do that. Go to that LDI management, prospect management tool, enter all your customers, enter every single detail of every phone call, every email that you send to them, and say to yourself, I'm going to call this customer twice a week. I'm going to email them three times a week. You can set reminders to say, you get a reminder in LDI Freight that says, call this customer, and you got to make sure you're doing that every day. You got to stay religious to your system, your prospecting system.
Hey, Bryce. But let's face it, nobody's going to get ahead unless they continue to prospect. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, if you build, you know, if you get a couple customers and decide to coast on those customers, what's going to happen? Are you going to get ahead?
Then, I mean, in the short term, maybe if the business booms, but this industry is always changing. One day that customer is not going to be there, and you want to make
changing.
Sure that you have
correct.
Others.
Correct.
So.
Raven?
Yes.
Any other question for Bryce?
No.
Okay. Just keep prospecting.
I am. I'm trying to get out of my whole
niche.
Little lumber thing. I know, Ted.
You won't find your niche unless you're on the phone.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get away from the whole lumber thing.
but let's face it, Raven, you've moved a couple lumber loads, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and
I know that's where I'm
starting,
but I don't want that to be my end game, you know?
And it was a great start, but now let's keep graduating upward.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Raven, for the question. Who's got the next question for Bryce? Hit *6. Who's up next? You got a young guy here, 23 years old, who is making the LDI leaderboard. He's got to have some knowledge. So who's going to ask the next question for him? Hit *6.
This is Matt.
Hey, Bryce. This is Anthony.
Anthony.
Hey, Anthony.
Anthony from Ohio.
Yes, I heard you say you get cargo vans and stuff like that. Now, I have a customer that's coming up that's doing a lot of 1-2 pallet deals that'll be coming up here in the next few weeks. Where are you finding your cargo vans at? Are you posting those on the LDI board or?
No, you're not going to find any cargo vans on LDI load board, truck stop, or DAT.
How do you find your cargo vans, Bryce? Are these folks you've built up a relationship with?
Yeah, a lot of them. There's a load board you guys probably don't know of, and I hate to, you know, say, but there's a load board you guys might know of that we do have a subscription to. It's called Selectus, and you can post your cargo vans on there. You can post your straight trucks, and you can post. You can even post. You know, I even use that for my 53 footers now, and it's a load board specifically. Revolved around these type of carriers and these type of brokers, and we do have an account for them, so you could hit up Mike Canistra, and he'd give you a login for that. But I can.
And what's the name of the load board, Bryce?
Selectus, SYLECTUS.
Did you hear that, Anthony?
Yes, I heard it.
Okay. All right. Did that assist you in any way, Anthony?
Yes, it did.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Who else was about to chime in there?
Yeah, this is Hank. Hello?
Go ahead.
Hey. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Pretty much,
wonderful.
That's, I wanted to that was
this
kind
James?
Of Anthony had. Yes, it is.
Okay, fire away, James.
Yes, Anthony had that. My question, really, I have a customer that every time they send me out those type loads with one pallet, 152 pounds, I was seeing that the drivers, some of them were telling me, like, man, I wish I had my pickup. But, man, you know, so I seen that that wasn't the big flatbeds and those things weren't the truck for that customer, but I didn't know how to actually go about. I had seen a load board called Hot Shot Carriers. But
okay,
if,
good one.
If Ted could, could you, like, email that name that he just said and the person who you said to contact?
Go ahead and repeat that, Bryce. Bryce, get ready to write this down, James.
It's Selectus, S-Y-L-E-C-T-U-S.
S-Y-L-E-C-T-U-S.
And what I are you with Logistic Dynamics?
Yes, he is.
Okay, I would just make sure you have that name, and then I'd email Mike Canister or Evan in the morning and just say, could I please have a login to this load board? And they will probably they'll get you a login, and then they'll give you the link and everything to that.
Did you hear that, James?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear his last name. Mike what?
Mike. Mike at corporate. Mike Canister.
Oh, Mike Canister.
Okay.
Okay, James.
All right, thanks a lot. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, hey, thanks for divulging that, Bryce. Who's got the next question for Bryce? It's star six. Who's up next?
Hey, this is Matt from Washington.
Hey, Matt. Matt from Washington, Bryce.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Bryce. My question was on finding your niche. Would you recommend kind of searching all over the place, like refrigerated, flatbed, kind of going all over to find your niche, or just kind of focus on what you're interested in, and hopefully that turns into a good niche, or how would you recommend
Yeah, but
that?
I mean, just like Ted's, mentioned several times, prospecting, because you're not going to find, unless you already know what you want to do, then, I mean, target that niche. But if you're asking how you find that, again, it's just a variety and hammering the phones and finding, getting every piece of freight that you can and finding out which, you know, interests you the most, you're making the most money on. I mean, there's, mm-hmm. I have, a reefer customer that I tried so hard getting set up with, and I haven't moved a dang load with them in a year because I don't know how to do reefer loads. And there's some people that make a killing just doing reefer, but I mean, it's not for me. So it's what you can bring to the or what you are interested in and exceed in. That should be your niche. And you find that again by prospecting and trial and error.
A lot of it is trial and error, Matt.
Absolutely, yeah.
A lot of it is trial and error, but it's also what, you know, Matt, you were a driver at one point, correct?
Correct.
I mean, you can go back to your memory bank and say, you know what, boy, that that load I did there, I bet you that's a good industry to pursue. I mean, you've got the experience and the visuals, Matt. I would think that would be an easy question for you to answer. But really, Bryce, it comes down to what do you know and where do you want to go? I found my niche. It took a while. I believe I started pursuing it between my six month and my 12 month. But either way, you won't find it unless you get on the phone. That's why I give you folks a lot of free customers. My agents, I give you free customers, and as you know or don't know, provided you contact these folks, you can see the type of freight that's out there. But it's not going to happen if you don't make contact with the marketplace. Great question, Matt.
Thank you.
You got time for a couple more, Bryce?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Who's got the next question for Bryce? and somebody's got to hit star 6 to get off so we can hear. Who's got the next question for Bryce? Anybody there? Hello?
I'm here still.
Okay, Bryce, thanks. Who's got the next question for Bryce? Hit star 6. Bryce,
maybe,
really, go ahead.
Maybe one more question. This is Nassim.
Nassim,
yes. Now you are operating in a specific niche, and the question is, would you consider also? I think it was already asked by you that if you would consider getting into other niches.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't turn down anything. I mean, another niche that I do, I haven't done a lot lately, but was the over-dimensional shipments of, you know, anything from, you know, 9 feet wide to 14 feet wide, 100,000 pounds. That's something I get into. And the thing about my two niches are they're uncommon. I try to stay away from the 53-foot vans because that's where I found out shippers don't pay as much money and it's, you know, the most common type of freight broker stuff. So I try to find the industries that are less saturated and more specialized and ultimately better paying.
Yes. Thank you.
Niches. That's why they're called niches. If it's different, there's a high probability that, I mean, there's less niches, but there's less competition. Would you agree, Bryce? Right?
Yeah.
And
yes.
they're going to pay a little more money, but you're not going to get in there if you don't find out what they are. It's that simple. Bryce, are these niches going to come to you?
No.
Or do you have to go after them?
You have to go, I mean, they'll come to you after you go after them. I mean, you have to, again, experiment and find out. And the only way to do that, again, is prospecting and hammering the phones and never stopping.
Absolutely. Who's got the last question for Bryce? One more, Bryce? Can we squeeze you in for one more?
Yeah.
Okay. Bryce, has anyone else asked you to be on a conference call with them like this?
No.
Okay. When do you think you'll be doing your conference calls?
Yeah, I got a long way to go.
Have you learned anything today? Just being
yeah.
a guest on a conference call?
Yeah.
Awesome. Who's got the last question for Bryce? Hit star 6. Last question for Bryce. Hit star 6.
Hi, Bryce. This is Urjo from New Jersey.
Urjo, welcome.
Hey.
I'm very brand new to this industry, but not in the industry of marketing and phone calls. I kind of own a small business, and my job is to sell something over the phone. And I'm very much liking how you're selling, how you're optimistic and a good energy. You got a positive vibe about you, the way you're talking. And I can feel that, your success. And then just my question is, I'm getting into this, and I just want to be able to do something like what you're doing, not at that much level. I just want to do it on a lesser scale. How many phone calls do you make in terms of prospecting, or how many hours do you put in on a daily basis, something like this?
As often as you can. I mean, it all depends on your amount of business. I'd say lately my prospecting has been mostly just emails because I'm so swamped with, I mean, since, you know, we've been on the phone now, I've had like 10 quote requests come over. And I mean, so I don't have time right now really to prospect other than just consistent emails. But when you have an empty schedule, an empty book of business, I mean, you should be doing nothing but prospecting. I mean, that's, you know, so as often as you have time.
When you start out, that's all you're doing is prospecting.
Okay, yeah.
Right, Bryce?
You would say when you start out, Bryce,
yeah.
would you say you were doing like 3-4 hours of prospecting every day?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm first starting out and I don't have any shipments that I'm quoting and I'm not generating any income to myself, I'm prospecting from, you know, 6 a.m. to be on Eastern time until, you know, 7 p.m. to be on Pacific time. I mean, might as well use every hour you can, because that's all you can do. That's what you have to do.
If you're prospecting at that amount, you're going to get rate requests within your first week. But you got to be prospecting.
Probably the first day. I mean, I'm exaggerating a bit. Yeah, but I'm exaggerating a bit. But I mean, that's my point to make is that you should be prospecting as often as your current book of business or your current schedule allows you to, and obviously the more volume of prospecting you're going to have that you put in, the more quickly you're going to get results. So it's a personal preference, really, but
it's got to be done, right, Bryce?
It's got to be done, and the more volume you do, the quicker you'll see results.
So all you have to do, Urjo, right, is make the commitment, because you've got the skills. It's no different than the business you have now. I mean, when you first started, you had to make phone calls, right?
Yeah, I have to sell it, and when I sell it, I'm not able to show the actual product or the service. I just have to convince them on the phone, and I've been able to do that for a longer time, and I've just learned that way.
Starting off, you didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't.
It's practice, just like anything else, but it's got to be done. I mean,
it's got to be done. You're right about that.
You're only going to get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah.
So, Urjo, I mean, I could certainly guide you in some industries to pursue based on your business now, but good question. Plain and simple, it's got to be done. Right, Bryce?
Yep.
And starting off, it's got to be done constantly and consistently. But are your rewards right now worth it, Bryce?
Yeah, definitely.
Good to hear. Thanks for the questioner, Joe. Bryce, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you. You're the youngest guy I've had on the call so far.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just a few quick announcements here for those of you that have listened in today. If your desire is to become a top-notch freight sales agent, especially with a top-notch freight sales team, I'm your man to call, Ted Keyes. My number is 626-309-9141. If you have any questions on any of the questions or answers that you heard today on the call, you can either go to my website, tedkeysonline.com, click on podcasts, and you'll be able to hear this whole conference call that we had today. Or, again, give me a call, same number, 626-309-9141. Any questions involving our top-notch LDI freight system that we utilize to actually move our loads and provide the service? That is a call for my wife, Maria. Same number, 626-309-9141. Of course, you have to be a member of our team to do that. Thank you so much for joining us, Bryce. Take care. God bless you all. I will be looking out for your phone calls soon for those of you that have them. Take care, Bryce. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right.